Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. You're listening to The Next Step with Father Vazquez. On June 12th, with episode 314, we concluded our sixth year of broadcasting The Next Step to a worldwide audience. For the next several weeks, we will be on hiatus. During our time away, we will be working on special recordings to bring to you when we resume our new season. In the meantime, please enjoy an episode from our archives.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and of course is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles' Net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and, dare we say, expanding universe. Of course we dare to say it. Anyway, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, it's so good to have you with us today. We've got a great podcast for you. We've got so much to talk about today. You know, we're coming up on a major feast in the Armenian Orthodox tradition, which is called the Transfiguration. And we'll be talking about that in a few minutes. I've got so much to tell you. First of all, let me welcome you. If this is the first time you're tuning in to us or downloading us, first of all, thank you very much. I know it takes a little bit of effort, and I hope that it'll be justified when you get through this podcast, because we try to bring you some information you wouldn't hear elsewhere. When we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, we are going back to the roots of all of religion, to the basic beginning of time, and looking at what happened, how everything evolved, and making sense out of our world through this unique lens, a lens of peace, a lens of love. And I know those are things that, you know, it's easier said than done, and, you know, most people don't want to talk about these concepts because somehow they become cliche, you know, peace, love, is it possible? Well, you know, when you look at the world and it's so much easier to pick up a gun and a weapon and just kind of annihilate somebody else rather than sit and confront them and really try to bring about peace through normal means, through the intelligence that God has given us. But even greater, what we challenge here is really go to a little group of people called Armenians, which have had absolutely no military plans, strategy, or even those weapons. But for some reason, despite all the odds, they've been around. And maybe there is a lesson to be learned that can we survive? Can't not only survive, but can we move forward without the traditional weapons, but really talking about an incredible weapon, one that Jesus Christ came and talked about himself, the weapon of love, that against every negative thing, every evil that is out there, you can conquer those crosses, in a sense, by resurrections, by looking at the power of love. Well, that's what we talk about over here. So if this is the first time you're downloading us, listening to us, well, welcome. I hope that this will be a different experience for you. It is a different message, and we really challenge you to not check in your brain someplace, but really use that gift that God has given you, that beautiful brain, the senses that he's endowed us with to be able to touch and love one another. We invite you to use those senses and really get into it, really get into some of the heavy duty material that we talk about. And you know, not everything is really that heavy duty when you think about it. We've got bubbles coming up because those are so light, they really lift you up. That's a little segment in our show that we do, and we've got Ani Burr who brings us that every week. Just a great story that kind of lifts the spirit, just like those little bubbles, you know? You blow on them. My mom was telling me that she read someplace that it's kind of good for stress relief, because that's one of my favorite pastimes. You know, I take these little bubbles and start blowing them, and they do relieve you. So anyway, if you are stress ridden, I would definitely tell you, you don't need to read it anywhere. Just go and invest in a small 99-cent bottle of bubbles and blow them. If you've got kids around, it's a great way to just get kids fascinated. And those bubbles go up to heaven. And the kind of bubbles that Ani shares with us are just little stories that get our imagination to really think beyond itself, beyond the normal senses that we see all around us, to those extrasensory things, the ones that are defined by love and passion and all the good things. So, getting back to the beginning of this show where we just started, welcome if this is your first time, and if you are a return customer, oh, it's so good to have you back. I thank you for joining us. Like I said, we've got a great show for you. In fact, we've got a letter that came to us from Russia. When I said like a return customer, you know what? I'm going to read that right after the song of the day because it is going to, it blew my mind. It will blow your mind when you hear about it. We're going to be talking about transfiguration. We're going to talk about fish and chips and, well, hang on. Let's start off with a great song for today. That is Maria Matosyan from her In the Light album, a song called Arev Arev, which means sun, S-U-N, sun. And I thought it was appropriate because the S-O-N, sun, Jesus Christ, has a feast of transfiguration this weekend. It is when he personifies, when he becomes light, incarnate light. Wow, I told you it's a heavy duty one. We get into some deep, deep discussions like how can light be incarnate? How could light come to us? Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And as we look at this ancient feast, Vartavar transformed into the Transfiguration, and what it means to you and me. Like, what is it? So what, this incredible event takes place? So what, Jesus turns appearance and all of a sudden becomes personified light? What's that mean to you and me? How do we connect in there? Well, we'll answer that. But I've got to get to this one email that I received, because it just, you know, there's a word for this. It's called chentanalik. It means it makes you crazy when you think about it. And this is a listener who writes to us from St. Petersburg, Russia. And you know what? There was a time when I would actually ruffle some papers. Yes, just to make believe that we are reading these things as if they're on paper. But of course, everything comes to us electronically now. So let me just get it up on the screen and I will read. It says, thank you for your podcast, The Next Step with Father Vazgen. You are most welcome. I love the way these people from Russia, you're just so incredible when you write, because everything is detailed. Thank you very much for remembering those little details. Anyway, I digress. This is Yuri from St. Petersburg, Russia. I was especially interested in the number 7x77 that you spoke about, and forgiveness. When you began the podcast with the date 789, I thought that there must be more to it. It is one day in the century when all the single digits can line up. At 12:34, well, he writes it out, 12:34:56. In other words, 12:34:56 on July 8th, 2009. So visually, what I'm looking at is he's got all the digits. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 at 7, 8, 9. And of course, that's when the podcast was issued last week, on July 8th, 2009. So if you remembered, last week's podcast began with the Earth date 789. So Yuri continues. He says, I went to see when you uploaded the podcast and was happy to know you are consistent. Well, Yuri, let me tell you, thank you. I'm glad to know we're consistent too. He continues, I am sure that I am not the only one that has found this out, but I feel like the night Robert Langdon discovered Da Vinci Code. Yes, the Da Vinci Code, what was his name? Brown. Robert Langdon, I believe, was the hero in the story, yes. Thanks for keeping these mysteries from us. You mentioned that we can read about the 777 speeches on the website, but I did not find them. Can you please send me a copy of the speeches? Yuri, St. Petersburg, Russia. Well, first of all, Yuri, thank you very much for writing us. And, you know, all of you who send in emails, I appreciate them. Like I've always told you, I read every single email. The ones that get up here on the podcast are ones that just blow my mind, like this one. And if it was a little bit of a Da Vinci Code in itself, let me explain what Yuri has found. He's discovered that, yes, last week's podcast, July 8th, 2009, which we issued, if it was uploaded at 12:34:56, you would have a date stamp on that podcast, which would include all of the digits from 1 to 9. It would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And so what Yuri did is he went to the actual file and he discovered that, yes, it was stamped as such. I take it that's what it means by being consistent. Well, here's the mind blower. Let me tell you. First of all, let's understand the technology. After we record this podcast, which gets digitally recorded on a computer, it gets sort of like melted down into an MP3 file. And it is a small, relatively small file, about 20 megabytes for the 45 minutes that we do over here. And this file gets uploaded somewhere. That's the magic that Susie, our producer, does. She takes this file and she adds some codes to it so that it is recognizable by your computer. You know, that when you open up your iTunes or you have these podcatchers, it is recognizable because of the codes that are inside of this MP3 file. And she uploads this onto a site. It's archive.org, and it's basically a big archive site where these MP3s reside. And so Yuri has gone to that site and noticed that, yes, the MP3 file has been timestamped 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, Yuri, are you ready for this? We didn't know! We didn't know that it was going to be stamped at that. Actually, last week was kind of unusual. I had to run up to the San Francisco Bay Area from Los Angeles. It's about a half day's trip. It's about a 5-6 hour drive, and I had to make that drive in the morning last Wednesday. So just before it was going to be sent up to that archive site, I finished off the recording late at night, and I shipped it off to Susie, and she was doing her magic. And it got sent up to the site at the time that you sent. Now, I opened up, after I received your email, I opened up archive.org, and I looked at the timestamp. It said 6:34 on there, and I just realized it's just a question of the hours. Obviously, 6:34 is 12:34 somewhere else in the world. Now, I didn't see the seconds, the 5-6. But how about if we just say it was there, so that we can get the entire stamp there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It is wild. It is what we call chintanalik. Now, I got to tell you one more thing to add to this. After I discovered this, after I read your email, and after I went on the site and saw the date stamp, I wasn't shocked. I wasn't shocked that it happened by chance. Because, you know, yeah, we do have a lot of fun with numbers. But, you know, beyond those numbers, there's a mysticism that really makes life fun. That makes all of this worthwhile. When you connect the dots between the different topics, when you connect the dots in life, you find that, yeah, this is part of life. And that, I think, is my revelation today, is that I didn't go crazy. I was not shocked by this revelation. Susie happened to have put up this file right at that time, and in a different time zone, it was 12:34. 56 seconds, and it was on July 8th, 2009, in some time zone, right? Anyway, the numbers did jive. And Yuri, getting back to your main question about the forgiveness speeches, yes, 7x77.org is the website where you could find out about the event that took place on July 7th, 2007, 777. That was actually an answer to what had happened a year before on June 6th, 2006. If you remember, the date lined up 666, and there were all kinds of these wackos out there trying to talk about how it was the end of time and life was going to end on that day because it was the mark of the beast and I don't know what. Well, we came back with a very positive message of Jesus Christ, the one about forgiveness and love. So that was archived. It is archived still at 7x77, 7x77.org. Don't forget the ORG, because 7x77 in lay terms, if you go to .com, I believe is a gambling site. And although it is a gamble to forgive people, that's not what we're about. It's just, you gotta forgive. So those speeches that you were referring to and I referred to, yes, they aren't up there, in the entire texts aren't up there. You have some abbreviated abstracts, but thanks to your letter, I'm making sure that this week, within the next week or two, we will have the actual texts right up there on the site. I'll drop you an email, but everybody else, please check the website, and we will have the transcripts from that day up on that website. So Yuri, thanks a lot. We had a lot of fun with that. And like I said, it is just a mind blower how all of these things come together. It is just incredible how when you're really in tune, that's what orthodoxy is about, being in tune, not with just yourself, not with just a religious hierarchy, but being in tune with everything around you, what we call the universe, all that is around you. And that, again, it's not just a cliche. It's actually being in tune. And then you'll see that, yes, life does give you the timestamps. There are small little markings in your life that will show you that, yes, you are in tune, that everything is flowing, that it is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Your life is like that. So thanks, Yuri, and for all of you who are on board, if this is your first time, yeah, this is how wild it gets sometimes. For everybody else, I hope that it's just standard fare, as usual. Now, I did say that we would talk about the light. Let's get to that. Okay, thank you for bringing me back on track. Maria Matosian, I did say that earlier, didn't I? If not, that's from her Inner Light, In the Light album. And you can find her on the internet, Maria Matosian, and of course at better CD stores or music outlets everywhere. Now, I use that song to introduce us to the idea of light because we are in a celebration of light. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ is an event that takes place and is recorded in the Gospels. It's an unusual story because it points to a very supernatural experience. In other words, it's one of those experiences that if you don't get the rest of it, you kind of look at it and say that, well, you know, this is some of that made-up stuff of religion that religion is so famous for. It is part of the myth system. But actually, this is a story about connection to the beginning of time. You know, one of the first things that comes out from the early narratives, or let's say the myths of Genesis, is this idea that God creates life, creates the universe, and there is this six-day mark-off, right? He begins on the first day and he creates light, and he ends on the sixth day by creating humankind, and then on the seventh day he rests. Well, whatever way you want to take a look at it, it is a story of the beginning. And I've mentioned this many, many times, and it's worth repeating every time we look at one of these stories, is that we've got to remember that the Bible is not factual, but it is true. In other words, these facts, these are not about facts, about what the day was or how it was, but it's true in that it points to a creator who begins life. And in this order, the first thing he creates, let there be light. Now, isn't it interesting that he doesn't create the sun, according to this narrative in Genesis? He doesn't create the sun and the moon and the stars, the lights of heaven, until about, I believe it's the third or fourth day of creation. So what is this, let there be light, at the very beginning? What is this that he says, let there be light? Because it is a light that is independent of a source. Think about it for a moment. If there's no sun, if there is no light switch, if you're living in the 21st century, if you're living in the modern world, there's no light switch that is referred to in let there be light, right? Let there be light. There's no sun. There's no planets, there's nothing. So the light has to be independent. And that is really the basis of what we talk about in Orthodoxy of the beginning of time. In other words, that light was there from the very beginning, right? Now what's interesting is that recently, when I say recently, the last 30, 40 years, science, technology, medicine has evolved to a point where we are able to save lives. And there's a new phenomenon that's taking place called near-death experiences. because people are taken into emergency rooms, they're taken into operating rooms, and they expire, they flatline, they die. But technology, medicine has evolved to the point where we can resuscitate them, bring them back to life. And when they come back, what do these people talk about? What do they see? What is the one expression that we hear over and over and over? That they see the light. And the light is a warm light. A light. Now think about that too. That there is a temperature gauge to it too. That there is a light that is transforming, that has them completely secure. Now, of course, that's 99% of the people say they see the light. Of course, if you're in that 1% that comes back and you didn't see the light, I would strongly suggest you start changing your ways, because you want to be able to see that light when you check out of this life. But interestingly enough, those people who come back, and I've met one of these people in my one of my parishes in San Jose. I had a gentleman, his name was Ace, who had one of these experiences. And I've got to tell you, I am probably one of the big skeptics in this world. I'm very skeptical of a lot of things that happen. But more and more, as things like we discovered earlier with the numbers, as these events happen, it makes you realize that you cannot gauge everything by mere means of rulers and measurements. And certainly this man had gone through such an experience. He had flatlined in an ambulance. They had taken him to emergency room and resuscitated him. And he came back to live another 10, 15 years. And every time I'd see him, he'd talk about his complete trust and that he had absolutely no fears of dying, because he knew that it was a warm experience, it was a light experience. And that gave him that security, so that he lived those last years of his life, those last 10, 15 years, in complete confidence that no matter what happened at the end, there was a caring and loving light. And of course, we call that God. When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," what is he talking about? That I'm a light bulb? I'm the sun? Of course not. Connecting himself to the beginning of time. And in our lives, we understand light, unfortunately, because of the source of the sun up in the sky, the moon at night, the light switch on our walls. But can we challenge ourselves to think beyond that? And that's what Transfiguration does, because on the Feast of Transfiguration, exactly that metaphor was pushed to the limits. Jesus is standing there with his disciples. Two or three of them had gone up to this mountain, and it says that Jesus was transfigured. Now, you can read the narrative in three of the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each of the evangelists takes a look at this story. I'm going to read the Matthew chapter 17 narrative. I invite you to look at the other ones, small little differences, mainly in the description of the brightness of Christ. But it says, "He was transfigured, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." In fact, the evangelist Mark describes it as brighter than any bleach could have whitened the clothes. The evangelist Luke describes his appearance like a flash of lightning. Can you imagine how bright and pure that light is? Now the story continues. It says that just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. And Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Now, I told you from the beginning, this is really one of those supernatural stories. It has all of the elements of the traditional myths, things coming down from the heavens and the clouds and the bright lights. But what happens here is very, very unique to what we've been teaching through Armodoxy, through Armenian Orthodoxy. And it's the idea that there is a connection between us disciples through the Christ to the beginning of time, through all of creation, through the universe. Because for that split second, what these three disciples had a glimpse of was the beginning of that time, was that bright light, was that light that was there from the beginning of all eternity. And it's for this reason that when we read the Nicene Creed in our church, it is not enough to read just the creed. I believe in the Father Almighty, I believe in the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Universal Apostolic Church, the four elements of the Nicene Creed. But St. Gregory the Illuminator, when this creed came to Armenia, put his stamp on it. And he says, "As for us, we will glorify He who is from the beginning of all eternity." Now think about that for a moment. What separates Armodoxy? What is this element in Armodoxy? It's the connection to the beginning of time, the connection to the beginning of the universe, the connection to the universe. This is what's fantastic about this story. This is what is so descriptive in this story, that we have an opportunity to glimpse Christ at the very beginning, to glimpse the beginning, to glimpse that light, which when he says, "I am the light of the world," is not measured by lumens, is not turned on by a switch, but is the light that carries us to the beginning of time and takes us to the very end of time. So in this story of Transfiguration, you have connection. But it has to connect with our life today, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that the entire purpose of religion, is to make some sense out of what is undefinable, the mystery or the bigger picture, and what our senses can really comprehend? And so you have this unusual situation. You have this extraordinary event taking place, this event on a large scale, taking you back to the beginning of time, and then you have your life. And we're going to come back to this concept in a few minutes. I want you to think about it a little bit. Let it go in your mind as we listen to Bubbles right now, you know, one of the great parts of this podcast. And we'll come back to the Transfiguration and light. Here's Ani with today's Bubbles.
The Wolves Within. An old grandfather, whose grandson had come to him with anger at a schoolmate who had done him injustice, said, "Let me tell you a story. I too, at times, have felt a great hate for those who have taken so much with no sorrow for what they do. But hate wears you down and does not hurt your enemy. It is like taking a poison and wishing your enemy would die. I have struggled with these feelings many times." He continued, "It is as if there were two wolves inside of me. One is good and does no harm. He lives in harmony with all around him and does not take offense when no offense was intended. He will only fight when it is right to do so and in the right way. But the other wolf, ah, he is full of anger. The littlest thing will set him off into a fit of temper. He fights everyone, all the time, for no reason. He cannot think because his anger and hate are so great. It is hard to live with those two wolves inside of me, for both of them try and dominate my spirit." The boy looked intently into his grandfather's eyes and asked, "Which one wins, grandfather?" The grandfather solemnly said, "The one I feed." This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Well, of course, it's the one that gets fed. That's the one that survives. Do you feed the goodness or do you feed all that's evil? And this story is just so powerful, really, if you think about it, because it talks about our reaction. Reaction to the goodness that's out there. And that's what this, in a sense, when we continue on this this thread of transfiguration, that's what it's all about. Because this supernatural event, as many of the miracles that we experience every single day of our lives, the smile in a baby's face, the ability to breathe, the ability to enjoy that freedom, the real big miracles, really all they require is our reaction to them. And that's all that was required and is still required from the Transfiguration. And let me explain by using a real simple story that was given to me last Sunday. Now, last Sunday was the day of good living, just before the fast of Transfiguration. You know, each of the major feast days is preceded by a period of fasting. And so this period that we're in right now is the period of fasting for the Transfiguration. And just before that, last Sunday was Paragentan, the day of good living. And the Bible passage that came to us was the story of the fish and the loaves. And you've probably heard that story many times. If you're a fan of biblical movies, you've probably seen it on the big screen because it makes for such spectacular display of what it we call, quote-unquote, the miracles of Christ. You know, he takes a couple fish, he takes some loaves of bread, he says grace, and all of a sudden, everybody's eating and everybody's excited and happy and, you know, and then they pick up the crumbs and there are so many crumbs left over that they could feed, you know, another multitude, another crowd of people. And at the end, they count that there's 5,000 men that were fed, not to count the women and the children, who, if you extrapolate it, could be upward of 20,000 people that were fed on that day. And you say, what a miracle. Well, you know, that's a miracle by our standards, right? It's not really a miracle, is it? For somebody who's created a universe, adding a couple extra fish to the table or, you know, a little bit more yeast in the bread is not a big deal, right? I mean, you've created time. So what's the big deal about this? But we like this. We like this story. But let me share with you and really challenge you to think about where the real message of that story is. You see, this story, which comes, actually, it's one of the few stories that it appears in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can find the story in all four Gospels. And what's interesting here is that Jesus multiplies the fish and the loaves and he feeds the people. And everybody was content, right? Why? Here's the beauty of this story. It's a story of grace. He did not have to do this. He did not have to feed the people. The people were there to quench their spiritual hunger. They had followed Jesus out into the wilderness. They wanted to hear him. They knew that his message was going to fill them from the bottom of their hearts and fill every aspect of their soul. They weren't looking for that food. But Jesus, having pity on them, says that he wants to feed them. Having pity on them, he wants to share their life with them. That is the story of grace. People who don't deserve anything are being given a gift. That's what grace is all about. And the miracle of this story is the distribution of grace. That's the power of it. That's the message that comes as a prelude to the Transfiguration Feast. Because on Transfiguration, when we see the light, what's the big deal about it? He didn't need to show that to us, right? But he gives us an opportunity to know that if you can see the beginning of time, then be certain of the end of time. That I am with you till the end of the ages has a meaning. When Jesus tells us that this life is full of love, and it's the same love that created life that will take you to the end, don't doubt it anymore. He's given you an opportunity to look through, to see a very special glimpse of what that universal time is all about, what that universe is all about, that every aspect of that universe, from the most distant galaxy to the planets that twirl around those stars out there, to the person that is right next to you, the one that you share a smile with, the one that you share your time with, the one that you care for, the one that you love. Everyone is connected. And it's the same love that transcends time and reaches out to those people and reaches you. People who love you and care about you. And so the only answer you have, much like the wolves, is which one are you going to feed? Are you going to feed all the bitterness in your life, or do you feed that light? Do you understand that you are now given this opportunity to see the light? That by just listening to this podcast, you've been given a glimpse of that Jesus Christ who said, I am the light of the world. And that light of the world is from the beginning of time, not something that just occurred in Bethlehem, not something that came to us from Jerusalem, but came from the beginning of time, of God creating the universe and saying, this is what love is all about, that I don't want to be alone, that you don't need to be alone, that you never need to feel that loneliness in this life, because all of this has been created for you, and you are called to partner in this, to share in this. And that love that you feel, that you experience, that has been given to you, is now required of you to pass on to others. In other words, you have to give an answer. That's the only thing you can do, right? Or you can ignore it. You see the transfigured Christ, you now have to answer it. What do? I have that light inside of me. I feel the warmth of that light. I need to now share it with others. I need to get out there and reach out to other people. I need to be out there as the first person to testify to that light, that he who lives in that light will never have to live in darkness. So you see, when we talk about the Christian message and all of these nice metaphors that we have for what Christ is all about, he is the life, he is the resurrection, he is the truth, the way, all of these things come together in saying that he is the reality. He is the all. He is the completion of everything from the beginning of time till today. And so too we saw in the story of the Transfiguration. He was the completion of the law and the prophets. Who was standing next to him in the story? Moses on one side, Elijah on the other side. Moses symbolizing the law, Elijah symbolizing the prophets. And the voice that is heard, that majestic voice, says, "This is my son. Listen to him." Interesting. Didn't say, go and die like him. Didn't say, go and be like him. He said, listen to him. And perhaps I've said this many times, and I need to say it over and over. It's that's that one part of Jesus that very few of us ever want to acknowledge. Oh yes, we acknowledge his birth. We love to talk about the stars in the sky flashing. We like to talk about virgin birth. We like to talk about resurrection and about the innocent blood that was spilled at Calvary and how it redeems us and makes us a better person. We love all that. But what about his message? How many of us are tuned into that? And that's what God says. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. His message was so pure. His message was the one message that comes shining across the ages and touches us today, doesn't it? It's the message of hope. It's the message of love. It's the message of victory in that love. And it's a message that's crying out to be heard. Love one another, care for one another, put away your indifference and react to life. Say yes to life. The fish and the loaves were just given to you. You didn't ask for them. So now you have an option. You could either ignore them or you could take it in. Most of us would eat it. Of course we would. That's how we survive. The light of Christ has now been given to you. You could either ignore it or you could take it in. You could say that from this point on, I walk in that light. And that light shines. It opens my roads. It takes me to the places that I need to be. And so you see, in that sense, we find that the transfiguration, yes, an event that took place in history, is an event that touches our lives today. Are you with me until now? I hope you are, because I'm going to give you the final kicker. And this is important. This is really, really the one little ingredient that is consistent through all of these stories. In fact, through most of the stories that we read about Jesus. In the fish and loaves, he gives the people exactly what they need. He feeds them, and all they needed to do was to participate, to say yes to that big miracle. In the same way of the transfiguration, there is the light. It is everything that you need. God gives you exactly what you need. You need to say yes to it. You can say no. You can feed the evil wolf, or you can feed the one that needs and deserves to live, which is you. At the conclusion of the Armenian liturgy, the priest descends from the altar, descending from the symbolic heaven to earth, and he says, Christ is the completion of the law and the prophets. Gadarumun orinatsin markarets, tu es Christos astvats pergichmer. That in that completion, everything, from the beginning of time to the end of time, has already been marked. All you need to do is plug yourself into it and enjoy it. And you say, well, that's a, you know, people enjoy too much and they don't care enough. Well, think about it this way. Once you start enjoying what God has given you and you start walking in that light, you cannot help but not take it as an obligation, but take it as a responsibility to spread love, to reach out to the people who are homeless, to help those who are naked and clothe them, to reach out to those who are sick and give them healing, to reach out to the bereaved and console them, to feed, to nourish, to take care, to do the Christ job that is demanded of you. This is the completion of the law and the prophets. This is what it means to walk in the light of Christ. Dumiakes vor karoges bolorin tvel Amahakan anhatuitser sais bajamen Guin arants kes havachuni guineri hande Guin arants kes imaschuni kuir havatipes An excerpt from Gor Mkhitaryan's About Light song comes from his Spirit album, Luisi Masin. Very appropriate, don't you think, today? Spirit album, you know, it's still available on our website, inhisshoes.org. Check it out. Order a copy right now. It's a fantastic bit of music. Armenian spiritual hymns written for the 21st century. About the light, yes, we talked about the light and transfiguration. In Armenian, the word for transfiguration is Ayla Gerbutyun, and sometimes they use the word Baydzara Gerbutyun. In other words, the bright, transforming to bright light. And with that light, of course, sometimes we talk about a word. I used it earlier in this podcast, if you were awake enough at that time to catch it. It's the word Vartevar. What is Vartevar? Vartevar was the pre-Christian feast. It didn't have any Christian roots, but as St. Gregory brought in Christianity, many of the pre-Christian traditions were taken over with different Christian traditions, much like Christmas was in the West, where the winter solstice was taken over by the Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. So too in Armenian, many of the heathen feasts, heathen practices, heathen being non-Christian practices, were taken over with these Christian traditions. And so Vartevar was taken over by Transfiguration. And on the Feast of Vartevar, people would actually drench one another, would take water and squirt one another. It was a water feast. It was an incredible feast. And of course, I'm looking at the time right now and probably not enough time to get into the details. You can Google it, Vartevar. There's a lot of stuff about it. But sometimes I get criticized. People will say, well, why are you encouraging a non-Christian feast inside your church? Because yes, in my church, I go after people with water. I drench them, and people do it back to me too. And people say, well, why do you do that? Well, first of all, in the middle of July in Southern California, it is probably the one bit of relief that you do want in the church. So aside from this very utilitarian approach and a very practical, pragmatic approach to this Transfiguration Vartavar thing, there is another reason why I do it. Because to me, it's heathen. When you say something like it's a heathen practice, it's just a word. You know, if you take any one of the Christian practices and don't ascribe the meaning that it's supposed to have, it too loses its meaning. It too can be called a heathen practice. People assembling in front of a tomb, believing that the person has resurrected. Well, if you don't believe that Jesus has resurrected, well, that tradition is meaningless. It's ridiculous. Don't waste your time standing in front of a tomb, expecting life to continue. And in the same spirit, I drench people for this reason. It's an opportunity to touch our Christian selves. When you get wet on Vartavar, when you get drenched, soaked, or even if you get sprinkled, it's a chance to think about, well, what else? How about your baptism? How about if you take that opportunity to think about what does it mean for you now to be a Christian? That you have entered into the kingdom. You have been adopted as a child of the Heavenly Father. And you have all the rights and the responsibilities of that kingdom. Of a true son of that kingdom. That's what baptism is, isn't it? So as we do many of these practices, I insist that people start thinking, use these as opportunities, much like the candle in the church. Candle, lighting a candle doesn't take you to heaven, but what it does is it allows you to think, what would life be without light? What would life be without the light which is Christ? Therefore, what would life be without love in darkness? Much like the incense that we smoke in church every Sunday, it doesn't take you to heaven. It might not even take your prayers to heaven, but it is a reminder, it is a symbol there, that it reminds us that our prayers should be lifted to heaven, that we need a conversation with God and not just some mere words, that our words should also transcend all of the boundaries that this world presents to us and really rise to the heavens. So each of these are merely occasions, opportunities for us to really contemplate the things that put our life in track. As we were recording today's session, we just got word about this tragedy that took place in the skies between Iran and Armenia. And we just are reading, as we're recording, we're reading that 168 people perished in that jetliner which went down between Iran and Armenia. I don't know more details, and I'm sure in the next few days there will be many more details. But I do know one thing. Many people today, this day, this moment, in this tragedy, many people are beyond themselves right now, trying to make sense out of the senseless in this world. Our heart, our compassion should go out to them. And I ask each of you, as well as myself, to join me in a very special prayer for those families that were devastated a few hours ago by this tragedy, as well as all families, as well as all people who suffer injustice in this world. May God, the comforter of us all, grant comfort and strength during this very difficult time. With that, we come to an end of another podcast, and I invite you to join us, whether it's on epostle.net, where you can pick up this podcast as well as every other podcast that we've put out since the beginning of time, or whether you want to come to inhisshoes.org and check out many of our blogs and information about what's going on, what's happening around, how you can join and participate. I invite you to get involved in so many aspects of this electronic ministry and look for some new features coming up in this coming week. In the meantime, for all the wonderful people who put this podcast together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth, and for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.